While the federal government has been scrambling to find qualified speakers of Arabic, Farsi, and other Middle Eastern languages, the military may be somewhat better off. Each year, nearly 3,000 members of the armed forces are sent to the Defense Language Institute in Monterey, California. The institute's curriculum is tailored to respond to current military needs. During the Cold War, Russian was the language of choice. Not surprisingly, now Arabic and other Middle Eastern languages are top priority. From member station KQED, Alex Cohen reports.
Less than a mile away from the Monterey shoreline lies the Defense Language Institute. At its entrance stands a tall wooden signpost. 11,000 kilometers to Athens, it reads, 9,500 kilometers to Moscow. But inside its main library, it often sounds like these locations are just around the corner. A constant feed of TV news broadcasts from around the world helps students master contemporary language usage. Since September 11th, security has been extremely tight, and the Institute won't discuss its current operations. But one thing's for certain, there's a new sense of urgency here. Alfie Khalil, a former teacher of Arabic at the Institute, now heads its teachers' union. He says DLI felt caught off guard by the terrorist attacks.
Now we just woke up, you know, from a bad dream, I guess, here in year 2001, and we're going to start to fight back. I feel sorry that we are starting pretty late, but we'll catch on.
Last year, the school graduated 409 students of Arabic. They won't say how many students are now studying that language, nor whether they've added Pashto or Dari, two common languages of Afghanistan, to their course list. But if past wars are any indication, it's likely the Institute has been ramping up for this latest conflict. Lieutenant Colonel Rick Francona was a student of Arabic at the Institute before becoming General Schwarzkopf's personal interpreter during the Gulf War.
Language right now is going to be probably even more important than it's been before, maybe than it's ever been, because I don't think we have a lot of people that speak these languages, and yet we need them instantly. The problem is you cannot say, I need linguists, flip a switch, and they just start pumping out of DLI.
There are some things, though, that DLI can do during wartime. During the Bosnian crisis, DLI taught a crash course in the Serbian language called Turbo Serbo. In the early 90s, pocket-sized language kits explaining basic Iraqi were sent to Desert Storm troops. But quick fixes can't substitute for foreign language fluency. Greg Treverton is a senior policy analyst at RAND, a think tank based in Santa Monica, California.
What's happened in the military service is that while the services, the Army in particular, have paid attention to language training, that's typically not been a mainline activity. Mainline activity is driving tanks, not learning languages.
Still, even amid military cutbacks, DLI has managed to stay funded for more than half a century. The Institute began in 1941 when it taught soldiers Japanese during World War II. Since then, the Defense Language Institute has added on more than 30 languages, ranging from Arabic to Czech. DLI's toughest category of languages, which means students spend 6 hours a day for 64 weeks studying it. Iraqi-born Ninive Ibrahim was the chairman of one of DLI's Arabic departments until he retired in 1996.
To the American learner, Arabic is the hardest language because it has a different script. It actually has a different thought process.
When Ibrahim first arrived at the Defense Language Institute in 1959, he says, the Arabic department had just 13 teachers and 30 students. But in his time, he saw the department grow to more than 10 times that size. Ibrahim says knowledge of foreign languages may be of greatest importance during times of global conflict, but that doesn't mean DLI students use their skills only for battle.
We always say at DLI, UHP is not war, and learning a language does that. It's amazing what it can do if you, because you surprise people. An American speaking Arabic, interested in our culture and our language, it's very, very impressive.
As American special forces and perhaps even ground troops prepare for conflict in Central Asia, knowing the languages of these foreign lands may be one of the most important tools in their arsenal. For NPR News, I'm Alex Cohen in Monterey, California.